Thank you. You may be seated, and I believe the children are going to be released for children's church at this time. I have a message this morning that I want to. It's been on my heart here for the last couple of weeks, and I believe that God has been speaking to me through little things, I guess you could say. But the message this morning is called "Faithful in the Little Things," or "Faithful with Few," or "Faithful with Very Little," whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to be preaching out of Matthew chapter 25 this morning, and this morning I'm just going to tell you that there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Let's just put it that way. I battle a lot with the flesh and the spirit. You know, if a lot of people would know that who Jerry really is at home in the house this morning, I have a prime example of how I battle the flesh. And this is kind of this might be a funny story, but it's just an example that happened this morning. So I drank a lot of coffee this morning because I was up early, and I justified it because I needed to stay awake. And I drank a lot of coffee, and I was up. I was ready early. Took a shower. Was ready early. I didn't want to be here at 8:30 in the morning. So I was walking through the kitchen. I thought, hey, one thing I can do is take my vitamins. I really need. I knew that we had these chewy gummy. They were men's multivitamins. They were good for the immune system, and they almost tasted like gummy bears. And so instead of taking two, I would take four or five because I like candy. And so I opened the door where all the pills and the vitamins and everything is at, and I opened the door to get the vitamins. I didn't see any vitamins, but hanging out of the top shelf was a Twizzler. And this was not just your normal Twizzler. This Twizzler was one of those, they're hollow, and then they have this chewy, they're filled
B12.
Twizzlers. And I looked at that Twizzler, and I was like, oh, you devil, and I took it and I ate it. So that nobody else would have to go through that pain. So I took care of it. That's what we do as leaders of the home. We protect others. But I thought in my, instead of taking this vitamin, the gummy vitamin, I settled for a Twizzler. And I started thinking about it a little bit, and I thought, I do this often because my flesh gets in the way when the Spirit speaks to me. And so what happened this morning was, as we were worshiping, I thought, God, that's, some of the stuff sounds crazy that when I feel like the Spirit is talking to me, but I'm willing to be a fool for the sake of Christ, I guess you could say. This morning, so we're going to go to Matthew 25, and I brought some props that I didn't bring up with me here to start with, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. And 24, Jesus is telling the disciples, he's telling what it's going to look like when at the end of age, when the end of the world comes. He was telling his disciples what it would look like, and this was in Matthew 24. But I want to go to Matthew 25, and where this message started was a few weeks ago. I felt like I was going to talk to the men at our boot camp about being faithful in the little things. We resolve to be men who are faithful. That was kind of the theme for that week. And through that, I have a picture of it. I should have given it to Maddie, but it's okay. I can show you the picture if you want to see it. But through that, I parked my truck on a cement slab beside the garage. That is my parking spot, because I have two children that drive and a wife, and so the garage is out of the question. I can scrape snow off of my car, but they can't. So that's another thing that we do as leaders of the home. We park outside so the others don't have to scrape snow and have cold vehicles. But I park on the cement, and this, and if you would see my truck, you would be embarrassed for me. Not anymore, because I cleaned it, but it was an absolute disaster. And I would open my door, and there would be change wrappers, some candy wrappers. There would be a lot of junk in the trunk junk in the truck that as I opened the door, it would fall out. And I knew that it happened, but one day a penny, it was actually a corroded penny fell out of the door of my truck. And it lay right where I parked my truck, right beside the door. And I left it there. And as I was getting prepared to speak to the men at boot camp about being faithful in the little things, God showed me this penny laying on the cement. Even though I couldn't visibly see it, or I wasn't physically close enough to see it, he showed me in my mind, he showed me the penny laying on the cement. And I got home that night. It was probably about 9 o'clock. I got my flashlight out on my cellular device, and I searched for the penny, and I found it, and I took a picture of it, and I picked it up. And God started speaking to me about being faithful in the little things. And this message this morning, please don't get all excited, because it doesn't have to do with money and budgeting and all of that. We'll leave that up to Pastor Rick. That way you can hate him and not me. But this message this morning has more to do about what has God placed in your life that you need to be faithful with. I'm going to start in the top of chapter 25, and I had a message prepared one time, and I still have the notes. I finally threw the notes away. It was like, God, you're never going to release me to preach this message. But it was called Burning the Midnight Oil, and it had to do with this first story that I'm going to share. And as I share this story, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25, I have here, I have a change jar. This change jar is beside my bed. And if I do it, because Elmina really likes when I do it, clean out my pockets before she does laundry, whether it be a mint wrapper that I got here at church, or whether it's change or a wadded up dollar bill, she would really appreciate if all men cleaned out their pockets before their wife did the laundry. But here's a change jar that is beside my bed, and before when I clean out my pockets, I have change and I put it in here. And this morning I grabbed it. It's like, I'm just going to use this for my prop this morning, because our big change jar was a big dirty bucket. And then I looked at it and it said party light. I think it said forbidden passions on it. So I peeled the label off so I don't get into trouble at church. I'm going to give this to my brother Dave. And in here are a lot of coins, and whatever coin that you pick out of this change jar, you will be allowed to keep. You can keep it. So you can look in there, you can fish through it, or you can close your eyes and hope for the best. But I'm going to pass this around, and Dave, just go back the aisle when it gets back there. By the time I get to this story, everybody should have a talent. Take one, Dave. And if you take more than two, there is now, therefore, no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the coins. Go ahead and send everybody take one. So I'm going to start with this. And also, I also have another prop. How many of you know what this is right here? This is an eellicht. That is Dutch for oil lamp. When I grew up, this is what we had for lighting in the evenings in our rooms. We had white gas lamps that would burn in the house, but up in our room and in our little rooms, this is what we would use for light. And this doesn't have a wick in it. By the way, I did not ask Mina if I could bring this. Mina, can I bring this to church? Yes, she is okay with it. I did not ask her. So I left the chimney at home. That way it wouldn't break, because it's the chimney on this is very fragile. But the chimney keeps it contained so that it doesn't smoke. But the wick is out of it as well. But if you turn this too high, it would smoke, and the chimney could get all smoky. And sometimes we did it on purpose, because then you could take the black stuff out of the chimney and wipe it on people's faces. But this is an oil lamp. And when I was a child, always burning. And my mom say the kingdom of God is likened unto this. And so this is what he's saying. Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how it works when I come again. He's telling them in Matthew 24 that I will return, and these are the signs of my coming back. And then he says, and then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto this. This is how it's going to work. And he says that there were 10 virgins and they had all been given a lamb. Now, I believe in this story, I believe the virgins are the church of Christ. Jesus will come again. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to come for a virgin church. He's going to want somebody. A virgin was, she was ready for marriage, but she was undefiled. A virgin was somebody who had never, she was undefiled, to keep it PG, 13. And she was available for marriage. And these lamps, they were all given a lamp. And I believe these two stories are the same. The two stories, the parables that I'm going to share that Jesus told his disciples are the same. As the more I read them, I'm going, he's talking about the same thing. Jesus, and so this morning as we study this out, as I just marinate in the word. I don't have a lot of notes. I just sit and I marinate and I'm going, well, that's good. So please just follow along this morning. The 10 virgins are the church. And everyone, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you have been given a lamp. Is that fair? Is that what he's saying here in this scripture? You can start throwing tomatoes at any time. But it says this, that those who took their lamps went out to meet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is who? Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. They went out to meet the bridegroom. They have all been given a lamp. I think it would be fair to say that in some capacity, they were given a lamp. The church has been given a light. And they all have, in some capacity, the same opportunity. Is that fair? Okay, good. Those who were, now it says that five of them were wise and five were foolish. I looked up the word foolish and I used the Thayer definition in Strong's, and that just means blockhead. My wife used the word idiot. You cannot say the S word in church, but it was S-T-U-P-I-D. Those are some of the things that says that these were the foolish virgins. They had a lamp. The wise had a lamp. They all had a lamp. Those who were foolish, they took their lamps and they took no oil with them. Let me just put it this way. I believe that it is foolish to be an S.O. Christian, a so Christian. Anybody know where I'm going with this? What do I mean by S.O. Christian? Sunday only Christian. I believe that's foolish. I believe it is foolish to just base your salvation on being a Christian, on accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, and then saying that the rest of my life, as long as I go to church every Sunday, as long as I show my face, I'm good. If I say stuff that offends you this morning, you can tell me later, I guess. I'm just saying what I believe the word is saying in the revelation that I got. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil in them. I believe having a lamp with no oil is trying to go through life being a Christian, not having the Holy Spirit. Yep. Oil in the Bible, through Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of times oil is directly correlated with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that, and these are called oil lamps. Now this lamp here, I feel like back in the day they probably burned olive oil. And we could go through the process of how olive oil is made. I had all that looked up when I thought I was going to preach a different message. But this is kerosene. So this is a kerosene lamp, which is a type of oil, almost like diesel fuel, I want to say. But we used a lot of kerosene back in the day. And these are kerosene lamps. But trying to go through life without oil is like saying, I want to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And you try to make this lamp burn on your own power. You try to make this lamp burn without any oil in it. You're trying to do it on your own. We talked a little bit earlier about a Pharisee and a scribe. And they felt like their good works. They felt like their clothing. They felt like following the law to a T was going to put oil in their lamps. You're spinning your wheels. Because I believe that your lamp is going to burn by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says this, those who were foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. We're going to keep going. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise actually recognized that my lamp might run out of oil, and they had another vessel with them. It says they took oil in their vessels. So this was a reservoir that they had gathered enough oil to take with them beside what was in their lamp. These were the wise. Because he said, I don't know when this bridegroom is coming. I don't know how long it's going to be until he gets here, so I had better be prepared. They took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, so they had a reservoir full of oil with their lamps. But it says that while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So the whole church slumbered and releases this melatonin that helps you fall asleep. And now what happens is we have so much artificial light in our world. May I say, it might be a phone screen, but there's so much artificial light in our world that we have to take gummy melatonin to help us fall asleep. I ain't getting no help this morning, am I? We also have a bottle of melatonin on the windowsill that I could eat as gummy bears. Anyway, I don't need them. It says that, these wise virgins, they took oil in their vessels, they took oil in their lamps, and they left. But it says that while the bridegroom tarried, while they were waiting on the bridegroom, they all slumbered and they fell asleep. But then at midnight, there was a cry. And that's where this midnight oil came from. But it says that while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, and it says, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. I remember one time I had such a vivid dream. I sat up in bed as I woke up from the dream, and I heard myself yelling that Jesus is coming again. And it so hit me that what am I doing to tell other people about the oil that they need to gather, because the coming of the bridegroom, the coming of Jesus is going to come back. And I believe we have this greasy grace message nowadays that tells us, man, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. There's nothing required of you. But according to the word of God, there is something required of a Christian, and that is that you gather the oil. You make sure you have enough oil to keep your lamp burning, because the bridegroom is going to come again, and there's something going to be required of the church of God.
Yes.
And I'm going to get to a little bit more of that as soon as these talents get passed out. All right, Dave is working on it. The wise answered, here we go. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all these virgins, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. They prepared their lamps. See, this wick, the wick isn't in here, but when there was a wick in here, every once in a while, you would have to trim this wick, because this wick would burn. The crazy thing is the thing would burn, but not burn, I guess you could say. It would not go. It would not burn it up, but there was enough oil that the wick had soaked up so that there was this little flame that casts the light. But it says that they woke up, they trimmed their wick one more time so that the light would be burning as bright as it could. And they prepared their lamps for the coming of the bridegroom. And then it says that all those virgins, they arose, they trimmed their lamps. And the crazy thing is the foolish ones trimmed their wicks as well, without any oil in their lamp. Then the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. You know what I see in the church today? And please understand, I'm not casting judgment. I'm just calling it out as I see it. But what I see in the church today is there are some that are riding on the shirt tails of those who are gathering the oil. Some of us are just along for the ride. And we don't gather oil for ourselves. We're banking on the pastor to gather the oil. We're banking on the elders to gather the oil. We're banking on the ministry leaders to gather the oil. We're banking on Sunday school teachers to gather the oil. And we're just along for the ride. I'm not here today to bring condemnation on you. I'm here to encourage you that there is something required of a Christian. There's something required of every one of us. And if you're just here every Sunday morning to ride on the coattails and ride on the shirt tails of those that are gathering oil diligently, then I believe we need to be reminded. I believe we need to be rebuked. And I believe we need to be reproofed according to the word of God. And then the wise answered, saying to the foolish one, said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go gather to those who sell and to buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. By the time the foolish came back, they thought they had, they went to buy, they went to gather enough oil to get their lights burning. By the time they came back, the rest had left and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered to them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." In Matthew 7, we actually read where there were people that came up close enough. They came up to the door of heaven. They knocked on the door of heaven. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Who are you? I don't even know you." And they said, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Concerns me. Concerns me a little bit. "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." What I gather from this, and I'm going to leave it, I'm going to leave the story here of the foolish and the wise virgins. But what I gather, when Jesus told those people in Matthew, when they said, "We prophesy in your name, we cast out demons in your name," and he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," what I gather from that is, if you are in ministry, and if you're looking for your own platform, if you're looking to do miracles, if you're looking to prophesy, if you're looking to cast out demons for your own glory and for your own good and to build up your own name, I believe that's what Jesus is saying. "I don't know you. You're doing it for the wrong reasons." All right. Getting too quiet in here. We're going to have some participation. Dave and his own servants. Who are the servants of Jesus Christ? We are. We are the servants. And so this is a story about Jesus and about us, right? So this is a man traveling to a far country, called, gave his own servants to his own servants, and he delivered his goods to them. Jesus has delivered his goods to us, right? He said, "I must go so that he can come. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to dwell inside of us." Jesus says that, "I have foreordained you before the beginning of the world that you can do good works," right? And this is not exact scripture, but Jesus said, "I have ordained you to good works." And so he says that, "I am giving you," how much do we have left, Dave? Okay. Oh, I thought I had enough. See? Got return already. We'll find out who took more than two. And in verse 15 it says that, "And to the one he gave five talents." To the one he gave five talents. Now I want to say it's in Luke chapter 19. You can read the same story. Luke chapter 19, he talks that these talents were actually minas. Or in New King James it says minas. But I believe in King James it says pounds, if I'm not mistaken. He gave one 5 pounds or whatever. But I believe it's the same story. But Luke chapter 19, I decided to go with Matthew since I was talking about the lamps anyway. Then it says that, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And it says, to each according to his own ability." To each according to his own ability. Okay, now I want to see a hand. Who got 1 talent? Who got a penny? Just show me your hand. Wow, a lot of you. You know why there was more pennies in there than there was nickels or dimes? Because it was my money, and I didn't want to give you my nickels and dimes. That's worth a lot more. So that's why. That's the only reason. Nothing spiritual about it, just I was greedy. So a lot of you got pennies. Now let me see how many of you got a nickel. Come on. Not quite as many. All right, there was some dimes in there. I'd like to see how many of you got a dime. Yeah, see, the boys up there, they're all raising their hands. They dug through that until they got a dime. One more question. There was a few quarters in there. Did anybody get a quarter? You blessed man. You blessed man. God must, you must have a lot more faith than anyone else here. You got 25. You got 25 talents. You are so blessed. I wish I had your gift. Now, some of you have this penny, and how many of you have already compared what you've gotten? Anybody? I look at the boys again. They're probably looking at each other going, yep. How many of you have compared your talents? See, what we do in the church is we've all been given a talent according to our ability. But the talent, see that penny that was laying beside the truck for quite a while, I finally picked it up. It was probably the ugliest penny I've ever seen. It was green. It was corroded. It was still worth a penny. But what we do is we take our talent that we have been given, we take the talent that has been given to us according to our ability, and we start comparing it with other people's talents. Some talents are a little bit more shiny than others. Some talents have been given, some have been given 5 talents, some have been given 10 talents, and it's just not fair, is it? And then there's some that get 25, and we look at them and go, man, if I was just blessed like him, if I could speak like that man, if I could just have as much as he's been given, and it starts this whole comparison thing. It starts in the church is where it happens. And just let me put it this way. Don't ever compare your talent to another person's talent. Because this is what we do on Facebook. All of a sudden, your talent looks a lot less shiny. And you know what we do with it? We do what the wicked and evil servant did. I'm going to keep reading here. I want to bring some more stuff out. He gave to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To some, he gave 25. This is the new Jerry version. To some, he gave 25. So there was like 4 or 5 quarters in there, I believe. And how many got quarters? How many of you got quarters? Gordy got one too. I mean, these pastors, they're like,
they were digging.
I'm like, I tithe this week. I'm getting it back. Now listen to this. Listen, we've all received a talent. And according to the word of God, we have all received a talent that is according to our ability. John has not received the talent according to Jerry's ability. Jerry has not received the talent according to Harry's ability. Harry has not received the talent according to Laban's ability. Laban has not received the talent according to Cheryl's ability. We have not received a talent according to each other's ability. We have all received something from the Spirit of God that has been placed inside of us that is according to our own ability. Right? And my gift is not for you, and your gift is not for me. We have all been gifted in different ways. And I just want to say this. If the church would flourish in the giftings that they have been giving, and if they would quit arguing about petty things and stop squabbling about petty things, I'm telling you that the gift of God would start flourishing in the people, and they would start catching fish instead of feeding them. Now listen. Then he who had received the 5 talents, this was the most, but some of you got a dime, some of you got a quarter. They went and they traded with them and they made another 5 talents. I've just put this down. These are a few of my notes right here, my notes. There are I'm talking about money now, but I want to take it to another level here, but I'm talking about money now. There are risk takers with money. I have told people many times, Jerry is not a risk taker. I don't start up businesses. I've had kids tell me that, Dad, we should raise dogs. We should not raise dogs. Dogs, they poop a lot. They bark. I don't have a kennel. I don't. And by the time that we bought the right dog and the right breed and the right pedigree, by the time you get everything flowing, it's going to take a few years before you start seeing a return. Is that right, Marcus? And so Jerry is not a risk taker. I'm one of those guys who just really wants to play it safe. But there are risk takers in the kingdom of God. I apologize if I'm not lifting anybody up or anything like that, but I think of Kyle Martin. When I look at a risk taker for the kingdom of God, somebody who says, God, you've given me these few talents, you've given me a couple of talents, but what I'm going to do, I'm not talking about gambling, but I'm talking about taking your talent and saying, God, I'm going to push all my chips to the center of the table, and I'm going to lay my cards on the table, and I'm going to say, I'm all in. This right here, this decision, a risk taker for the kingdom of God with the talent that you've been given, you can say it will either make me or it'll break me. But God, I'm trusting you because you've given it to me. And I'm telling you, if you hear from the Spirit of God, if he's telling you to push your chips to the middle, to lay your talent on the table, he's the one. If he's telling you to do it, he's the one that gave you the talent. It's up to him to make it flourish by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to walk in obedience with the talent that you've been given. Amen. There are risk takers in the business world, but there are risk takers in the spiritual world as well. There are people who lay their faith on the line, and I'm going, whoo! That could make me or break me. There are those who are investors. They see where there's a good stock to invest in. They see where the best place is to invest. They do their research. They know what's going to bring a good return. And I don't do that either. I would if I had money to invest. Don't get Rick started here. He's thinking about a lot of things that he could tell you right now about money, but we'll let him do that later. I'm talking about your talent that you've been given. But there are people that invest, and if you look at people where people invest in the kingdom of God, I believe that there was another one that had two talents, and he went and he traded with the two talents that he had been given. There was one that had one talent. But the one with two took what he had been given. He gained two more. There are investors in the kingdom of God who also, they are shrewd, may I say it, in that sense. But they know, where can I invest the talent that I've been given? They research it out and they say, I'm not going to spin my wheels over here in this ministry. I'm not going to spin my wheels out here on this plateau. But I'm gonna see where my time is best invested in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Amen. Good. And then, there are those who play it safe. I play it safe. If you take the one penny that you grabbed out of that little jar, if you take one penny and you play it safe, you put it in the bank, and let's just for easy numbers' sake, this one penny will you can draw 5% interest on this penny. How long will it take you to get two pennies? 20 years. Mina's guess was after 20 years at 5%, it'd be $28.63. That was Mina's guess. I wouldn't have known either unless I had a calculator, but it's actually easy math if you think about it. 5% at 20 years, it'll double. So if you take your nickel and you put it in the bank and you get 5% interest in 20 years, you will have 10 cents. And there are some of us that play it safe. And we look into, church, I'm just going to say, let's take River of Life here today. And we want to play it safe, and we walk into the church and we go, I want to invest, but I don't want to lay it all on the line. I don't want to look like an idiot. According to the word of God, if Jesus, this Lord that came back to the man that had one penny who buried his talent in the ground, we'll read it here in just a bit, but he said, if you could have at least put it in the bank and let me draw interest on what was mine. According to the word, even that is better than not doing anything with it. And so taking your penny and putting it into the bank and getting 5% interest in 20 years from now, you're going to have doubled the talent that you had. A quarter, you're going to see 50 cents. So the more talents you have, the more you're going to return. But according to the word of God, he's not looking at how many talents you have. He's looking to see what you're doing with it. And I believe that as men and women in the church, something is required of us, that we are faithful with very few. And as we are faithful with the little things in our life, God will start expanding our horizons. I could probably go down these rows and I could ask some people, I say, where did you start? What did you start with? And I would look at them today and they would say, so this whole idea, the word that I wrote down was multiply. These talents will multiply. Jesus had the perfect model, and that model was taking 12 and teaching these men the word of God and sending them out and so that it would multiply. Take the few things that you've been giving. Take one or two and do it well. Sometimes Jerry is guilty of biting off a lot more than he can chew. Instead of taking one or two, instead of investing time in what I know is going to bring return, I want a return right now. Hey, Joey and Dave, could you guys do me a favor? Over in this next room, there's a whiteboard and an easel stand. Like, could you just run that over here to me real quick? I'm sorry. I'm going to do one more thing before we quit, but let's finish the story here. Likewise, he who had received two gained two more. We're still talking about the talents. This is in verse 17 of chapter 25. But he who had received one, he went and he dug in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. There is a difference between playing it safe with the talent that you've been given or just being straight up lazy. Yep. That was this servant. He received one talent. He was the one who got one penny, and he was probably looking at his neighbor who got 10. Wasn't really fair. A lot of people got one talent, but his was probably corroded and ugly. Did anybody find a penny in there? I just saw it this morning, but it says 1946, and it's a wheat penny, like a wheat. Those are worth something, aren't they? I keep them. Sherry keeps them. She'll buy it from you. Do you have a dime? Look at your pennies. It might still be in there. It was 1946. I've never seen anything like it. I Googled it, and according to eBay, the one guy wanted $1,999 for his, and the other one wanted $36. I'm like, just whatever you make it. Whatever I charge for it, that's what it's worth. It's worth a penny. Bottom line. Copper penny. I'm going to finish up. And so, let's finish the story and then I'll finish up. So he had, after a long time, the Lord came. So he who had received five talents, okay, so the one that had only gained one, says that he went, he dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. He said, this talent that you've given me, I don't see it really doing much. I have this vision of some of the kids having crazy faith and taking this penny and trading it up. You know, like, have you ever seen the TV show where you go and these guys, they start with like a skateboard, they trade it for a bike, they take the bike, they trade it for a dirt bike, they trade the dirt bike for a four-wheeler, all the way up until they have a car. Have you ever seen that show? There we go. And I think of that. Who's crazy enough to take this one talent? Who's crazy enough to take their penny and go say, hey, how much for the Pokemon card or whatever? Till they get a Nerf gun, right? That's what the Lord is requiring of us to do with our talent in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God. I believe there are many that come to the church today and they say, man, this is what I have to offer. Can you use it? But I'm going to tell you now, we need a few more of those. We need a few more of those. Your talent might be teaching a 4 or 5 year old kid. Better invest it. Yeah. Better invest it. Right. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents, he came and brought five other talents, and he said, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Jesus, these are red letter words. These are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, this is how the kingdom of God is going to operate. This is the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus comes to call me home and I come up to the gates of heaven and I say, you have given me five talents, but I only took three of them because two of them were not nice and shiny. I didn't feel like I could use them in the place where I was at, but I took three and I traded for them. I said, no, I want everything. Everything that I gave to you, I want you to invest in the kingdom of God. Enter, and he also had received two talents, came and he said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more. besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Luke says, you've been faithful over a little, very little. You've been faithful over very little. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he had received the one talent, came and he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. And he goes, look, I've retained it. I took care of it. You can have it back. And the Lord said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I did not reap, that I reap not where I have sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back with my own interest, with interest at least. The least you could have done with your talent. And what I see here is for us, for those of us, or for those of you that really just want to play it safe, at least invest it so it can get interest, right? If you're not going to take it and trade up, when he said that you need to trade with the talents in Luke 19, it says that occupy until I come back. Do business with the talent that I have given you until I come back. You need to occupy. And for those that are going, I don't even know if I can occupy, at least put, he says the least you could do is put it in the bank so that it will draw interest. And after 20 years at 5%, you'll have two pennies instead of one. That's better than nothing. I want to encourage you this morning, invest. Amen. Invest what you have. Amen. And whatever return you get is better than zero. That's right. It's better than nothing. Okay, I'm going to finish up. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Again, these are Jesus' words, and he says, this is how the kingdom of heaven is going to be. What you have not invested is going to be taken from you. I just want to tell you this morning, take your God-given authority. Take your God-given talent and use it. Because if you don't, it's going to be taken away and given to somebody who's at it. Amen. That's scripture. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance from him. Him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And it says that, and cast the unprofitable. So there are servants who are unprofitable in the kingdom of God. Cast him into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to do one more thing, and I want to talk a little bit to the men. When I think about being faithful with little things, this is for the women as well, please understand, but I want to challenge the men, because you are leaders in the home. You are leaders in your home, and men and women, this is for both, but I want to show you a little bit of an idea of multiplying and investing the little that you've been given. Some of you are going, I'm not quite sure what talent I've been given. I'm not sure where to invest it or how to invest it, but how many of you have kids? How many of you have children? Those are talents. And you'd better invest in your children. Because if they don't find in the home what they are looking for, if they don't see that dad is investing in a good thing, they will never follow your steps. Studies are showing us that many children who grow up in the church are not following after what mom and dad did because they see no fruit. They see what mom and dad are investing in is not bringing a return, and so they are walking away from faith or from religion. We even hear that there's Muslims, more Muslims are turning into atheists because they see that whatever mom and dad are doing is not returning fruit. And I want to encourage you with something this morning. If you think that I have nothing to invest, if you think that my children are just a byproduct of my marriage, no, they are a gift from God, and God wants these talents back. But I want to show you a little bit of what it could mean or what it means to invest in what you have been given. Who in here, somebody show me who has two children. Two. Jerry? So Jerry and Jerry Cardella have two children. And this is Jerry. I don't know if you can see this or not. This is Jerry and Jerry. And they have two children. And if they're two children, well, you can see I don't do this often. I got to use the whole board, don't I? So if Jerry and Jerry, right here, they are married and they have two children. These two children get married. They have a partner. They have a partner. And these two marriages, out of these two marriages, come two more children. Right? Out of these two children comes a marriage, and they have each have two more children. And all of a sudden, there's a multiplication thing that starts going on. And in 10 generations, if you take two children and you show them the kingdom of God, you show them the ways of the Father, you show them how to invest in the kingdom and how to get return. And all of a sudden, after 10 years, or 10, not 10 years, 10 generations, Jerry and Jerry will never see the fruits of their labor that they have started. They might see one or two generations that come up and they sit on granddaddy's knee. They might see how many, before they die, they might see one or two generations. But if you just take two children and you show them the ways of God, and these two children take what they have been taught and they multiply, after 10 generations, you will have 1,026 people in the kingdom of heaven. Now, who has, somebody in here have four children? Show me. John and Barbara Hooley. They have four children. If their four children get married and they have four children. Now, I'm not going to use myself because we have five. And if I look at Hannah and say, Hannah, I need five kids, she'll tell me I'm nuts, right? She knows what mom and dad go through with five. Four children. If you take four children and you sow into them, you teach them the ways of God, they sow into their children. And please understand, there will be a generation here and there that will have some seed that is lost by the wayside. Please understand. I'm just doing this for easy math. But after, if you take the four and this keeps multiplying generation after generation, by the time you get to 10 generations, you've got 260,000 that are brought into the kingdom of heaven. Right? You'll never see the 260,000. Well, you'll see it. You'll see it in the kingdom of heaven. Simple math. Virgil Stutzman. How many? 11? If you have six children, I know that all of Virgil's children, I think I know them, I don't know them all, but almost, and I believe they're all following the ways of mom and dad. But if they only had six, you know what that number gets to? Over 10 million. Every generation doubles. And I'm not just saying this, you know, as a nice math lesson. I want to provoke your thoughts on what you're doing with the generation that you've been given. I want to provoke your thoughts on the gift and the talent that God has given to you. And your children, and I'm, please understand me, my children are we have five of them, and you could go ask them. They could tell you the flaws that dad has. They could tell you the flaws that mom and dad have. But it is really, really a set and on my heart that I will leave a mark, I will leave a legacy so that my children know that dad had the right thing in mind. Amen. And I'm telling, like I told you this morning, sometimes I open the drawer for a vitamin, I get a Twizzler. They see that. But they also see your return if you're investing it right. And so this morning, this is probably, most of you can't see this because this red marker didn't work all that well, but I hope you get the idea. And so even if we're just talking, there are so many gifts in the church. There are so many different gifts. We look at spiritual gifts where there's prophecy and evangelism and pastor and teacher and apostle. We see spiritual gifts where there's words of wisdom and there's words of knowledge and there's all these other gifts. And what does it say? It says, if you don't have love, you don't. None of these work. And so the talent that I believe that the church has been given is that of the Holy Spirit. And this talent that is given to us is, will look different in everyone's life. And for me to sit and judge you by what you're doing with your talent, and it, some of us, it might not be visible to others, but we, as long as in your life, you're going, man, I'm doing what I can with what I have been dealt. Is that fair? And God is looking for some people who are not afraid to use their talents. Some of you are risk takers for the kingdom of God. I bless you. I want to get there. I want to get there where I'm going, God, you've given me this talent. I'm going to push my chips to the middle. Either it's going to make me or break me, but according to your word, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm going to leave it up to you. So this morning, if you want to, please just stand with me and we're going to pray. If somebody wants personal prayer afterward, I would welcome it. We're not going to sing a song here. We did a little bit longer worship. So, just stand with me. We're going to pray. And for those of you that are 55 and younger, you are welcome to stay here because the 55 and older had theirs, I believe it was last Sunday. And if you're offended by that, just like Rick said, get with the pastors. And they are sowing into the kingdom of God by feeding children out in Elkhart. You know, some of us are going, oh, we need this big, flashy, great, good talent and all that. And food. And Faith, do you want to say something? Yes. Awesome. She's going to use her talent this morning. There you go, Faith. Are we on? Okay. Hold that right up
here. I would just love if you would pray for my friend, Sid, with like the shooting at school, the suicide. She's like struggling with it a lot. And I don't know, this might be like a way that she can see the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Faith. You can stay right here. You want to stand in the gap for Sid?
Yeah.
And we'll just pray. So a lot of you probably heard already. Some of you have not, but at the middle school, on Friday, one of the teachers committed suicide in the parking lot. And the children, I'm sure Jacob is in the eighth grade. It was an eighth grade teacher, and Faith is in the eighth grade. And so for some of the children, it was probably really hard, and who knows where they come from and what's going on. But she has a friend, Sid, that is struggling. Was it her teacher by chance? Or?
No.
But she's just really struggling with it. And so I know that the devil means a lot of this stuff for evil, but we're going to pray that God would take it and he would use it for his good, and he would bring some of these children start think about life and what goes on, and that they could be brought into the kingdom of God. And so let's pray with faith. If you want to, just stretch your hands this way and let's pray. Father, I thank you for our friend Faith. I thank you that she is willing. She has the boldness to step out and say, I have a friend who is struggling, and she's willing to stand in the gap. And so today, Father, we're very simply asking that you would honor the request of Faith, and that you would come and you would speak to Sid through, maybe it would be a dream, maybe it would be a vision, or maybe you would just open a door where Faith would have the opportunity to talk with Sid and pray with Sid and share the gospel with Sid. Father, we're asking for an open door. I pray you would give Faith wisdom and understanding that is beyond her own ability, beyond the human mind, that you would let the Spirit of God flow through her, that she would know what to say, know what to do, and know what to present to Sid. And Father, not just only Sid, but a lot of these other children that have been affected and deeply impacted by this, and the family that is involved in this suicide, Father, we come to you this morning, God, and we say, God, let may you use it for your honor, for your glory. May you use it to bring people into the kingdom of God. May you use it to let a testimony come out of this, and that it would change lives, and people would be able to look back and say, this is where it turned for me. And God, this morning, we just pray, Spirit of God, flow through this young lady. Let her be a light to those around her, oh God. Bring life. Bring understanding. Bring reconciliation, oh God. And Father, through all of this, may we hear a testimony of who you are and what you've done. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.